You know, yesterday we were talking about churches reopening and the whole idea of some of them who are breaking the rules and opening anyway, houses of worship. You've got mosques and temples not included in, they're not essential, and they are not really included as part of what local officials say you can do. You can open up as part of this. I guess phase three really allows you to do some outdoor services and drive-in services starting this Friday in parts of the state, not including Chicago. But it's they're still closed. They're not allowed to do it. And I think there's this perception, we talked about this before, that it's mostly about the money and not the faith, that they're just trying to fill up the collection plates, and I'm sure they're hurting financially. But I don't think that that's really the whole story here, and I felt even stronger about that when we heard from a local pastor, one of those who broke the rules, got fined. He was at that it's a church in Ravenswood, the Romanian church, and he said that, you know, they were taking all kinds of safety precautions. They took it very seriously, but they wanted to open. He had caution tape, like 6 feet to mark off 6 feet in between families or individuals who came, you know, by themselves. He said that they required masks. There were no handshakes, no greetings, no touching of anything, no public Bibles. Common areas were off limits, kind of thing. You came in, you found your spot, and then you left. There wasn't communion, and then like coffee and food and that kind of thing. They didn't do any of that either. So he said, you know, he went out of his way to try to make it as safe as possible, but he broke the rules, of course, so we got the $500 fine. And that's what happened to him. And I don't think he followed up. That was 2 weekends ago. I don't think he followed up this past weekend and did it again. I think he just sort of decided not to open. We also talked to a rabbi who said that no way. She's got a huge congregation, and she says, I just can't make it safe. I don't feel like I can do that. She's thinking about doing outdoor services, she told us, but maybe not even comfortable doing that until the fall. One pastor this past Sunday, don't know if you saw this news, he took a different approach entirely. He announced he was opening, put it on the church website. People came, and then mid-sermon, heard a loud banging on the doors, the way the story goes, and Chicago police were demanding he stop. That's Pastor Courtney Lewis. He's on with us now here on WGN, the Cornerstone Baptist Church. Pastor Lewis, thanks for calling into the show.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, so tell me, what was in your mind here? I saw your Facebook page for the church here. It says, we are reopening, May 17th, exclamation point, excited to start church again. I mean, you knew it was in violation of what the officials are saying. Tell me what was going through your mind there. What was the thought process?
Well, let me first tell you that we took more precautions than any business that is considered essential has taken. Our elderly, most churches have elderly people. We encourage them all to stay home and participate via live stream. Any individual over the age of 2, we made them wear a mask. Signs were posted at every entrance, refusing entry to anyone that had flu-like symptoms. There was also plenty of signage on the inside of the building to encourage people to prevent spreading any respiratory sickness or illnesses. Those that entered our building were scanned for a fever with a no-touch thermometer by a screener that was wearing more than appropriate PPE. And anybody that would exhibit, we haven't had this yet, but anyone that would exhibit a fever of 100 or higher will be denied entry. We have strict social distancing measures in force. We closed off our church nursery, kept all of the families together in our worship area. We separated the non-family units by a minimum of 6 feet. And so we closed off all other portions of the church facility. We have a large building, but we closed off all the other portions of that facility that did not pertain to worship and bathrooms. We even had our entrance propped open so that it could not be touched. Didn't need to be touched on the way in or out. No hymn books or shared material was used. We had our tithe and offerings deposited in a stationary box at the back of the auditorium. Our choir didn't practice. We're not practicing. We're not performing. No handshaking, no hugging, no physical contact. All of that is completely avoided. We have multiple sanitizing stations. Even though sanitizer has been hard to come by, we found it, and we've made sure that everything's been sanitized before and after services. The city, our aldermen donated some masks for our congregation, so we have plenty of masks if people don't have their own. We did observe communion, but we used self-contained sealed packets so that nothing needed to be shared. And I guess my question to you, Amy, was, have you ever had any of all of that happen to you when you've walked into Walmart?
Anna, by the way. But no, I get that point because people say, well, Costco's open, Costco's deemed essential, and churches are not. That Costco, you can spend a couple hours in a Costco, so you might have just as much exposure as you would in a church. I think the issue here is that state officials are saying, you know, it's not safe to do it yet, but you're saying you're taking all the necessary precautions to do that, and it does seem like you've gone to great lengths to try to secure that. Do you feel, or did the parishioners tell you they felt safe? Did you get a crowd?
Absolutely.
Did you try to turn people away? How'd that go?
Well, we took a church vote to proceed with this, and our church is essential because we're helping people break free from the addictions and scourges of drugs and alcohol. We're using Christ's love and strong Bible preaching to see families mended and children break away from the life that will lead to violent crime. And so now they're talking about demolishing the church buildings where members are carefully gathering. That is ludicrous, Anna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we heard from another pastor too who said that it's amazing because he was doing an online version as well, and there was he described it as sort of this need for spirituality that he hasn't seen before because he had so many people on that online checking in online. He normally would have 80 people for that service, but 1,000 people checked in online. And wow. Even then, you know, he was able to sort of open the church with that 6 feet distancing. He felt he was doing the right thing. I just, you know, how did you feel, though, when the police showed up and they said, you know what, you're not doing the right thing?
Well, for 2,000 years, Christians have gathered physically on the first day of the week to observe Christ's resurrection from the dead. And so gathering together is a central tenet of the Christian faith. The word church literally means assembly. And there are certain functions of the church that cannot be done in a virtual manner, such as baptism and communion, the Lord's Supper. And so it is part of our sincerely held religious beliefs that in-person corporate gatherings are a central element of religious worship as commanded by God. And so when Sunday came around, Mayor Lightfoot sent armed police officers to our small church. We only had 45 people in attendance because we had more than half of our congregation stay home because of the risk factor, with them being either children that we would normally transport via our bus ministry or our elderly. And so the police, armed police, came to shut down our services. They came with 3 squad cars, 2 unmarked Durangos, and a mayor's representatives. A representative right from the mayor's office. It was like Soviet-style KGB. They were banging on the doors while I was preaching, and it was loud. Everybody turned their head. They weren't listening to my sermon anymore. The only thing that this mayor hasn't done yet is beat the doors down and arrest our members. Now, thankfully, our doors were locked. It's a normal safety precaution that we take every service to protect our members from the gun violence in Chicago. But we believe that Mayor Lightfoot is defiant of the U.S. Constitution and our freedom of worship. Again, our church has gone out of its way to follow CDC guidelines, and we have cooperated fully by having online services and outdoor services, which I just found out we weren't supposed to be doing, but a police officer allowed us to do that. And we've been practicing all social distancing requirements, and we're taking temperature on the way in. So we're trying to follow the laws of man as much as reasonably possible, but when the laws of man conflict with the laws of God, I hope you understand I, as a pastor, have a duty to follow the laws of God. So we will not be intimidated by this government overreach, this bully of our First Amendment rights. We're requesting the assistance of the Justice Department, waiting on a reply. And then we're also dispatching a letter today to the President of the United States of America. Can I say this? If it were not for a Chicago church practicing and reaching others, I personally would be one of the people perpetrating the gun violence on the streets of Chicago. I grew up on the streets of Chicago until I was reached through a church, and it was a church meeting, not an online service.
Hmm. Yeah, it's such a tough thing because I do feel people are... If people of faith want that connectivity to their faith now more than ever, some people say they're fine with the virtual services. And, you know, I'm sensitive. My ears are open when I hear from you, from people who say that's not enough. And I feel like you can make it safe enough. I guess the issue is it sounds like you're taking legal and political action. You mentioned the Justice Department and some other things you're doing to try to make it so that you don't get a visit from the police department. But will you continue to operate this weekend and next weekend and keep doing it? Is that the plan moving forward?
Yes, that is the plan. And it's more than being fearful of the police. What we're challenged with is something that's called summary abatement. You see, the one that was taking video on Sunday was a man by the name of William Townsell, who is a representative from the mayor's office, and he's in charge of something called abatement. I didn't know what abatement was, but summary abatement states that if our church is deemed a public nuisance, such as one of the Romanian churches was, they can come in and shut our building down and even demolish it. And so we are very concerned that because we're practicing our First Amendment right according to the Constitution, that our building could be demolished as city law states. So we dispatched a letter. I don't think I'm going to get any help from these people, but we dispatched a letter to Senator Dick Durbin, Tammy Duckworth, Bobby Rush, J.B. Pritzker, and of course our mayor and our local law officials. I don't think I'm going to get any help from the Rainbow Coalition or the NAACP. And so we're going to the Justice Department and we're going to the president himself. And we're saying to them, they're making plans or at least threats to physically take our buildings from us and demolish them if that's their desire.
Yeah. You hope it doesn't go that far. There's got to be something. There's got to be some sort of something reached here that's doesn't get to that point where you're getting your building knocked down over this. Will you let us know what happens, Pastor Lewis? Keep us posted and tell us how it's going.
I sure will. Thank you so much.